Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. I am here with...
What's so funny, RJ?
That horse, the fact that they found a horse that looked like it was about to die before it got to the finish line.
Kendrick Perkins, Richard Jefferson. We got all kind of guests coming through again today. Going to be a fun show. I do want to put tomorrow's Game 5 into historical context for you guys. This is the 30th instance in which the NBA Finals have been tied at 2 games apiece. Now, over the previous 29 instances, that's very good odds, friends. The team that won Game 5 has won the series 72% of the time. So, Richard, knowing how important this game is, what adjustments do the Suns need to make after losing 2 straight?
I don't really think the Suns need to make too many adjustments. I think they just need some slight tweaks. But ultimately, we've seen, look, if DeAndre Ayton stays out of foul trouble, if Chris Paul doesn't have one of his historically bad postseason, I think the Phoenix Suns win that game. Like you saw, they turned the ball over 17 times. They shot 40% and they barely lost. So I don't think they need to change too much.
I do. I think they need to find a swagger and get their tenacity back, right? Turnovers, but offensive rebounds. I think DeAndre Ayton has to do a better job like he did in Game 1 and Game 2, controlling the paint, grabbing every single rebound. I believe in Game 1 he had 19 rebounds. And then he has to do a better job of actually anchoring the defense up, right? Like getting in there, guarding the pick and roll, defending Giannis at the rim without fouling like we talked about. But the Phoenix Suns are going to play better at home, right? You think about Mikal Bridges. He struggled on the road. We know Game 2, he had a breakout performance with 27 points. We know Cam Johnson's going to play better. All the stars, even Devin Booker with Chris and CP3, they're going to play better at home.
Yeah, I mean, look, I agree that there's not any big – tactical adjustment. They made the tactical adjustment in Game 4, and it largely worked in terms of their Giannis problem, right? Giannis didn't go for 40-plus again. But when you guys say DeAndre Ayton has to stay out of foul trouble, when you say Devin Booker has to stay out of foul trouble, it's easier said than done, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's not really completely up to them. You can be more careful. You can be more disciplined. But the bottom line is this Suns roster is thin. They have definitely had injuries throughout these playoffs, and Dario Saric going down after Game 1 with that torn ACL means there's no wiggle room for DeAndre Ayton. There's no one really to be able to pick up that slack for him.
Yeah, but Rachel, if you look at some of Ayton's and Devin Booker fouls, they're dumb fouls. Like,
No, they are.
It's fouls that you could stay away from. Like, if I'm Monty Williams, I'm going to drill these plays in film session and say, look, stay away from these type of fouls. Like, even Devin Booker, some of those fouls he get, I'm like, why?
A foul that really was a foul. Right at the end of the game. That was just a mental. He was going to wrap the guy up to foul on purpose. And
one thing you can do to help avoid this, like a coaching tweak, is take, I know you want to end quarters, great, but take your guys out with 30 seconds. Take your guys out with 45 seconds to end the quarters so they don't pick up a little foul with 20 seconds to go unnecessarily. So you take Ayton out with 35 seconds to go in the first quarter. So then it's just like, okay, because this is going to be a possession basketball game. They're going to go to somebody specifically. So that's one way that a coach can limit the exposure to some of his stars in like little bitty 30-second increments.
What are the things that you've heard coaches say in locker rooms or that you've told younger teammates to say, cut down on the turnovers, friend?
Well, it's just valuing the basketball. I mean, don't try to get outside of your character. Don't make the home run play, right? So many times guys want to make the pass that lead into the shot or they try to do too much. Just simplify the game. Just be who you are. And that's what you, I mean, that's my advice.
Yeah, and when you think about the way the Phoenix Suns play basketball, they move it, pop, 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 pops, which you might think that would lead to more turnovers, but it's because they don't play in congestion.
Right.
They get the ball to the open person and then that person makes the play and makes that 0.5 second decision.
Yep.
It's when you're holding on to it, you're trying to do too much, that's what they have to dial back because it wasn't just Chris Paul.
No.
4 guys had 3 or more turnovers, so that was the whole team.
Yeah, and it's that 0.5 is the offense that Monty Williams has been preaching, that in half a second, you want to make a decision. Drive, pass, shoot, and that way, as you guys have been saying all week, the ball moves faster than the defenders, right? Because people can't move as fast as a basketball can. I want to move on to the other side, and Chris Middleton, guys, after that 40-point outburst in Game 4, Perk, is it fair to trust him as the series shifts back here to Phoenix in Game game five. He's had some good road games, certainly this playoffs. He had one in Atlanta that was fantastic. But then there's also been a lot of road games he's been quiet.
Yeah, but why wouldn't you trust money-making Middleton, okay? For the simple fact that I know everyone is talking about his struggles on the road in the finals, but game one, he had 29 points.
Yeah.
I think when it comes down to Chris Middleton, he just has to be aggressive. He had 29 points, but he took 26 shots. In game four, he had 40 points, and he took 33 shots. I don't care. Empty out the clip. That's what I feel like. Sometimes I feel like Chris Middleton takes a back seat, and he waits to see what Giannis is going to do or Drew Holiday is going to do when the front office. I was on a plane last night with one of the guys from the front office, and they're telling Chris Middleton, shoot the ball, be aggressive, be who you are. And if he does that from the start, then he's going to come out and have a good game.
Well, and that part, like you talk about being harder than you think, the reason why that's so difficult is because Chris Middleton is an extremely efficient player.
Yes.
He is a 50-40-90 guy. And if you're a 50-40-90 guy, either your ability is off the chart or you kind of have it registered in your head. You miss a couple shots, you slow down.
Sure.
You get a little tentative, or you were like, oh, I miss a three, let me go get a bucket. So that's where it's like, to Perk's point, you can go have 29 points on 26 shots. Mm-hmm. That is not something that he's used to doing, but they want more of that. They want that overly aggressive Chris Middleton.
Yeah. Now, those home and road numbers were interesting that they just put up there. He's such a steady guy to me, his personality. Mm-hmm. I never see him looking rattled on the road. Mm. Like, some guys don't play well on the road because they just, you can see them getting their heads from the crowd. I never feel like that with Chris.
No.
I think it's more of him feeling out games and all of that.
But that's a big difference. And especially for a guy you consider to be a star. He's about to be on the U.S. Olympic team.
Yep.
He's got multiple All-Stars. Like, this is what you expect a little bit closer.
The three-point percentage sticks out, right? The field goal percentage and that plus-minus, which I know is not a be-all, end-all stat, but when you do it over a string of games, it tends to be more accurate.
And they don't have home court, right?
They do not
have to win a game on the road. That is the key thing.
Yes.
But then, when you look at those numbers, and especially in the finals, we got to also realize that I want to know how many minutes he played, because you remember the game one and game two were blowouts.
Yep.
So, you know, those minutes wasn't really there. Like, it wasn't meaningful minutes,
yes,
right? Like it was in game four.
Yep. Well, they will have to win a game in this building. The Milwaukee Bucks will, if they want to win a title. We will see if it's tomorrow night and if Chris Middleton can be a main factor there. Stick with us on the show, because coming up, both Bradley Beal and Kevin Love are now out for Team USA and the Olympics.
RJ,
how worried are these guys
no,
about USA
no,
basketball?
They would never have me back.
We'll talk replacements as well. All right, so according to Woj, the NBA and Players Association have agreed to extend the playoff tournament, that play-in format, through next season. So,
yes.
Richard, what is your reaction to that?
No, I think it's good. I don't think seven deserves to be in that play-in format.
So you want to see them tweak it?
I want to see eight. I think eight is a great, great spot. When you do seven has beaten two multiple times. Mm-hmm. Eight has rarely beaten one, so give a lot of teams a shot to be at that eight spot. But seven is something that you work extremely hard to get.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Look, I love the play-in tournament the way it is. You know, keep it that way, because it teaches teams not to take the regular season for granted, and it makes it more competitive. No more load managing and doing all that stuff. So keep it the way it is.
There's no arguing. It cut down on tanking. You still had a few teams at the very bottom tanking. There's no question, but you didn't have the bottom third chunk of teams trying to tank. And the reason why that seventh spot is important
it gives you two,
right?
Yeah.
And also it makes that to get out of that seventh or eighth spot. We saw great competition in the West to try to just get to that sixth spot, right?
Yeah.
Regular season games perk being more important. And the seventh spot team does have multiple chances to make it into the playoffs. So
I understand.
It's the playoffs before.
I just think that you're going to play 80-something games and you finish half game in and or half game out, and now you're
wrong.
Out of the postseason winning 48
wins. I just
think
that your point is wrong. Keep it the same way.
Touch your mouth.
Whatever.
Plan. I like the plan. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols, still associating with Richard Jefferson, Kendrick Perkins. I don't know how happy they are to be associating with each other, but I'm grateful to them both. I want to talk to you guys about Team USA because there's a lot to keep up with, right?
Yes.
Here's all the latest. Bradley Beal, who was placed in the health and safety protocol Wednesday, is now ruled out of the Olympics. So he will not go over to Tokyo. Out of an abundance of caution is how it was phrased. Team USA's exhibition with Australia tonight has been canceled. Then today, Kevin Love withdrew from Team USA, citing that right calf injury that plagued him for much of this season.
What
Love's agent told Adrian Wojnarowski that he is not yet ready for peak performance. Now, with the two roster spots open, Woj reporting Spurs forward Keldon Johnson and three-time NBA champ JaVale McGee are being added to Team USA. Keep in mind that they're also going to get an infusion of these guys who are currently playing in the finals. Devin Booker, Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Jeremy Grant will rejoin the team also after he clears health and safety protocols. He's just in there for contact tracing, we assume, in relation to Bradley Beal. So once he clears that contact tracing protocol, he can rejoin the team as well. That was a lot.
Yes.
Richard, Kevin Love and you, I know, have spoken since this withdrawal happened. I don't know if you have any more insight for us on that.
No, I spoke to him, and I just think he has so much respect for USA basketball that he was like, dude, like, I thought I was going to be 100%. I hadn't been playing a ton of five-on-five. They gave me the call. I wanted to answer the call. I wanted to play. And then as he started playing more five-on-five and started banging, he just, you know, it didn't feel like 100%. And what he doesn't want to do is disrespect and not be able to play at his peak. So he opened up a spot for somebody else to go participate.
All right. So given that perk and given the guys and the names that you see are now going to be joining the team, are you feeling the same about Team USA's chances to win gold in Tokyo, or is the last couple days shaking your confidence there?
Well, my confidence has been shook, Rachel, but look, here's the thing. You still have enough firepower to go out there and win, right? And adding JaVale McGee, a backup center to Bam, I thought was huge and well-deserved, right? Because JaVale McGee is going to do his role. He's going to block shots. Here's the problem that I have, right? Greg Popovich being biased towards his franchise and putting on Keldon Johnson. And I'm not knocking the young man. Look, you know, whatever comes his way, embrace it with open arms. But it's guys out there like Trae Young that are out there begging on social media to be part of this that also should have this opportunity.
I can't wait to see Atlanta versus the Spurs next year.
Like, he should be on this team. It's no doubt in my mind. And this is the problem that I have. Like, to me, Pop shouldn't have a say in who picks, like, who gets to come on. He should be able to just to coach the team. It's unfair.
Well, look, I mean, it is traditionally up to the front office, quote unquote, of Team USA, and they do have really good management, executive management there, but the coach has a voice that is traditional with it. It's funny, though, hearing you talk about Trae Young versus the Spurs. We sometimes ask players, hey, does this game mean more to you because, you know, Chris Paul just playing the conference finals mean more? Well, mean more to you because Chris Paul played the Clippers in the conference finals? Does it mean more to you? And most players will just sort of say reflexively, nah, you know, I want to win anyway, or all games are the same. And then we hear you guys talking camera. Yeah. It's very clear that it's not actually true.
I kid you not. Gilbert Arenas was talking trash about everybody, every one of the coaches that didn't pick him. He was talking
for the Olympics.
For the Olympics. But this is the thing about Trae Young. And if you get an opportunity, you just have to say, hey, Trae, this is going to be our lineup. We want to make sure that you understand that you're going to be the third guard. And so, like, as long as you're okay with that, those are the conversations that you have to have, because what's going to happen is in four more years, you're going to be like, Trae,
our guy,
the best point guard in the league. Come on. He's the bad guy if he doesn't go to USA basketball. Yeah. You guys skipped them over.
Right.
No, I agree. And you know, look, I don't have a problem with this lineup. I just feel like Trae should have been on this team. I just feel that way. Like, I'm not going to dive any deeper into it, but that man should have been on there, especially what he did throughout the postseason.
I will say that the last 2 days have not shaken the sentence that I have said since this whole Team USA training camp started.
That team
has Kevin Durant, so I am not going to worry. No. Doesn't mean there's a lock to win the gold. Those are two separate ideas, but I am not going to worry about a team that has Kevin Durant until we get to the point where it looks like they're being outplayed in one of the medal games. Mm. All right, let's move over to Dallas, because Jason Kidd introduced as Mavericks head coach yesterday. Let's bring back our coaching carousel. Getting a little thinner now because more people have gotten jobs. Here's Kidd on the fit between Luka and Kristaps Porzingis. Take a listen.
KP, you know, this is a positive summer for him. He's healthy, right? This isn't a time where he's coming off an injury. I think he's really excited about this opportunity. I think he's a perfect fit for Luka.
First of all, Richard, look at your guy, J. Kidd, up there. The nice, thick tie knot, the glasses.
And all that. That's not Oakland, J. Kidd. That's not a J.J. We know the
truth.
That's
New Jersey Net.
That's the I'm a coach now. I'm the Los Angeles Lakers.
Yeah, you're supposed to grow, man. As you get older, you get wiser.
Do you agree with your guy saying that what?
Do I agree? Yes.
Do you agree with J. Kidd saying that he thinks that Kristaps Porzingis and Luka are a perfect fit?
I think they are, as long as Porzingis is not the second best player. You can make him the third best best player on the team. You have to get more help for Luka. Luka is one of those players that he puts pressure on a franchise. Mm-hmm. He puts pressure on a coach. He puts pressure on an organization because you're like, we have a guy that's 23 years old. That's one of the top five players in this league. We have windows to win a championship. And if we don't fill that window, he's going to go and he's going to be someplace else great for the next 10 years. So I just don't think Porzingis is nearly enough to be like, oh, this is the 1-2 punch.
I think you're so wrong. And here's why. When you go back and look 2 years ago when they were playing in the bubble, they were one of the best duos in the bubble
was,
2 years ago.
Three knee surgeries ago.
No, it was not. And then, by the way, they both was averaging they both was averaging 30 points a game in the bubble. They were coexisting very, very well. What happened was that Coach Steven Silas left. Okay? He was the magician behind that offense. So now you have to make Porzingis feel wanted. If you're Jay Kidd, you have to go and have a sit down with Luka and say, hey, look, you can't dominate the ball 95% of the time. You only could dominate the ball 60% of the time. We're going to feature Porzingis in our offense. We're going to run sets for him. We're going to put him in position to be successful. That didn't happen in this postseason. He was standing around the three-point line along with everybody else, watching Luka dance with the ball for 20 seconds out of the 24 seconds on the shot clock and then making a pass saying, hey, catch and shoot. That's not who Porzingis is.
Even if you put Porzingis in a spot where he's averaging 20 a game again, I still don't think that that team has enough. So we can disagree on whether or not Porzingis can be the second best player. That's fine.
That's fine.
But even if he goes back to getting featured in 20 points a game, that's not enough to get this Mavericks past four teams in this conference.
Well, look, it would be good for them if they could get past the first round. That's something that they would like to build on and be able to
there's
do. But there's
idea.
No question that it's not just pressure on Jay Kidd to make the roster work and to make the Kristaps-Luka relationship good. There's pressure on a new head of the front office, mm-hmm. Nico Harrison. I don't know. Is this title president, general manager, executive
what
vice
up,
president?
Nico?
Whatever it is, he's very important, and he's now running the front office in Dallas. Everyone's title structure is different in every team, but it is putting pressure on them because whether you also believe that KP is a great fit or answer there, it doesn't feel like that is a championship level roster at this moment.
Well, no. but Rich just said even if he's averaging 20 points, it's not going to get them over the hump. By the way, they took the Clippers to seven games and he wasn't averaging 20 points. If you have a better Porzingis at that time, then the Dallas Mavericks will win that series and possibly be in the conference finals where the Clippers were. So I'm not sold on that.
Okay, cool.
That's fine.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see the arms race in the offseason. All these teams out west, obviously don't sleep on Golden State also, which may be trying to make moves to get someone more at Steph's timeline as well. There's going to be some action here in the next month after the NBA finals are over. And we at The Jump will be talking about
it
every day. Well, on this show, we will be talking about that rough performance in Game 4 for Chris Paul, how much pressure is on him in Game 5. Here he is at practice right now. Shot looks good. First, though, here's what The Jump recommends for today as well on ESPN Plus. Bobby Marks details the players that every team can trade and won't trade. Speaking of the offseason, check it out. He's got a lot to say about Ben Simmons,
shockingly. I don't know if you want to listen to Bobby Marks. He traded me for Yee and Bobby Simmons.
Well, he did a great job.
He traded me for Yee Jiaoween and Bobby Simmons.
A lot of people tried to trade you away.
Kendrick
struck.
Not when I was averaging. The Valley.
Chris Paul struggled in the Suns Game 4 loss, scoring just 10 points on 5 of 13 shooting. CP3 also plagued by some uncharacteristic turnovers lately, 15 total in the last three games. So, Richard, what kind of pressure is there on Chris Paul specifically to turn things around in Game 5?
All the pressure. There, if there was one person that I had to point to that had the most amount of pressure, it would be Chris Paul. Mainly because it's like if you look at the stars over on the Milwaukee Bucks. They got a lot of length in front of them. You got Giannis is going to play 10 more years, Chris Middleton. You looked at the young players on the Phoenix Suns. You got Devin Booker, Mikal Bridges. These guys are going to play another 10, 15 years. You really have Chris Paul, who respectfully is at the end of his prime, and he's had a long prime, but he's still in his prime. And so it's all just has to be him, right? What he's going to do, how he's going to play. And I think that some of the things might creep in there, some of those playoff, like, unfortunate mishap that he's been a part of.
It's look, right at this point, Chris Paul, yes, he has to play better, but this is just icing on the cake, right? Him getting to the finals with this young core was good enough, but they have people like RJ.
What icing on the cake? A championship is not icing.
They have people like RJ who try to go up here and try a lot of them. But they have people like RJ that want to try to define winning championships for somebody's legacy, right? Well, Chris Paul has done throughout the course of his career because he want to talk about
Hall of Famer.
He's a top 5 point guard of all time.
Wrong.
And look, this is what RJ is so wrong. He wants to bring up his past history in the playoffs, and he had a history of doing this. Well, sometimes it's just the personnel around you. Sometimes you could be doing your part, but the others could not be doing theirs. And here's the problem that I have with winning championships and people overthinking this situation. This is a team sport. This is not boxing. This is not tennis. This is not golf. Sometimes you just don't have the personnel. So when you talk about Chris Paul and you talk about his overall achievements and what he did for each organization that he went to, the culture, he is a winner.
No, wait.
Relax. He is a winner, okay? He is a winner. I just want everybody to know that. He has changed the culture everywhere he went. He is a top 5 PG because I heard some of your takes this morning, and I was listening to you, unfortunately.
He's not a top 5.
I will just give some numbers. The man has played, I think, 126 playoff games. Mm-hmm. So when you have played more than 120 playoff games, there will be some bad ones in there.
Yes.
But if you look at the overall of what he has done in the playoffs, the top 3 in the categories that matter for a point guard is him, Oscar Robertson, and Zeke.
This is not about legacy.
This is not about legacy.
All right, we got an actual player in the series waiting to join us in the finals.
Talking about top point guards.
We got Bridges.
Is he going to win a championship?
Suns Mikal Bridges is right here on the jump, and Mikal, I'm sorry that these guys basically. This is what I have to deal with all day. Is just the two of them into each other. I bet you could add some to this discussion about what a strength Chris Paul has been in your organization and especially during these playoffs. Why don't you chime in?
Yeah, for sure. You see where we're at. You know, he got us to where we're at right now. He's a great leader, great person. I think that's the biggest thing I learned, that he's just a great person. What he does on the court and off the court is just unbelievable, and he just helps us to where we're at right now.
Thank you. See, it's now three against one.
Okay.
Mikal, Kendrick, me against Richard. Thank you, Mikal.
I'll wait for my question.
I got you.
Mikal, big perk here, man. Hey, I'm a huge fan of yours. I enjoy watching you play. I wanted to ask you, what did you do different for us with your game 2 performance? And then you kind of struggled in game 3 and game 4. How can you get back to that game 2, Mikal Bridges?
Just being ready, just being more aggressive. I think Milwaukee just did a great job in general, just with their defense and trying to make it play 2-on-2, you know, not helping off all of us as much, but I think just trying to find and mix it in, try to, offensive rebound, try to mix it in, try to get myself going.
Well, Mikal, Richard Jefferson here. I know you won 2 national championships, so you don't believe in participation trophies. You're not just happy to be there. So just explain to the people at home, are the Phoenix Suns just happy to be there, or are you guys expecting to win a championship? Because right now it's championship or bust if you only have 2 games left.
Yeah, obviously that's what we've been on. You know, we want to win. That's what we've been preaching beginning of the season. Obviously, we want to get better every single day, but our main goal was to be the last team standing. So, for sure, especially making it this far, I don't think, you know, anybody would be satisfied with losing and be just okay, we made it this far. That's a loser mentality for sure.
How did playing in those experiences, and I say it's invaluable, I played in the Final Four, wasn't fortunate enough to win a national championship. How did those games prepare you for these type of moments? First one, 2 out of 3.
Yeah, it does, but like I always tell people, I'm like, NBA Finals is just, it's a whole different level. And but we're ready. We played, we won every as much games as we can in the regular season to have this home court advantage. So, you know, I'm happy we got 2 out of 3 here. So we're going to take advantage of it and just play our way.
Well, look, the great NFL Hall of Fame head coach Bill Parcells used to say the best ability is availability. You have the best ability of anyone in the NBA right now. Your impressive Ironman streak is pretty insane. You have never missed a game, not one, in college or the NBA, and now have the longest active game streak in the league right now. What has been the key for you to staying healthy and maintaining that streak?
Taking care of my body, you know, having organization, the guys here help me, you know, take care of my body with strength conditioning and recovery. And just even when I feel a little banged up, just go out there and play. I think I got that just from Nova, where you never miss a game unless you really can't play at all. So just having that mentality, no matter, even if I'm banged up, just to go out there no matter what.
Nice.
Mikhail, hey, look, you got a lot of guys that like to get down and dance in the locker room after y'all be celebrating. I'm watching Big Aiden and Campaign. If y'all win this championship, are we going to see clips of you doing, I don't know these new dances in this new era, but you going to be joining the fun?
Yeah, but we got to get there first. We got to get there first, then maybe I'll think about it.
Yeah.
He's got moves, though, guys.
Yeah, I can't dance, so that's not something that I have no context there.
Mikhail, we will let you get back to the rest of practice. Thanks so much for joining us on this busy day, and we'll see you in Game 5 of the finals tomorrow night. We appreciate you.
Yep, thank you so much.
All right, everyone else, stick with us because... Oh, we've got producer Steve in my ear saying, we're not even going to break right now. We're going to talk a little bit about Devin Booker. And I want to ask you guys which version of Devin Booker we're going to see tomorrow night. What do you think, Perk?
The same Devin Booker from Game 4.
That's the one.
Yep, that's the one. I think when you look at a guy like Devin Booker, right, he's not going to struggle long. He got that out the way in Game 3. And he's just so good at putting the ball in the basket in different areas, right? He doesn't have any flaws in his game offensively.
No, I agree. I think once if you saw that we talked about that over the past week, is that his Game 3s over a couple of series, he kind of struggled first time on the road. But then he just gets more comfortable and he's like, all right, I got this, because he's put in the work. So, no, I think we're going to see a high-level Devin Booker. That's why I think the Suns are going to win.
Kobe whispered in his ear, be legendary. Book had that tattooed on him. We'll see if he does that tomorrow night. So Space Jam, A New Legacy hits theaters today, Space Jam 2. Mm-hmm. Neither one of y'all was asked to be in it. How come?
Well, I was asked. I just said I don't do sequels. I only do originals.
Well, I mean, who needs enemies when you got friends like Braun, right?
Yeah. I was busy, you know. But seriously, Braun, like, I'm ready for Space Jam 3.
You do trilogies, just not sequels?
I do trilogies, just not sequels. Like, I'm the big addition to the trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, add a new character, Squidward.
I think that's crossing franchises.
Yeah, but it'll work.
Okay, that's where we're at today. I like it. Good start. Welcome back to The Jump. I'm Richard Jefferson. And now look, we had a couple of days here, and I was born in LA, but I grew up in Phoenix, and I blessed Perk and Rachel with a little tour of where I grew up.
I wouldn't call it
bliss. Listen, just take a look.
4-on-1, the Looker, and a block by Jefferson. Richard Jefferson out of Phoenix, Moon Valley High School.
I was born in LA, but I grew up in Phoenix, Arizona. Learning how to play in the park outside, even at 9 o'clock with the sun down, the temperature is still in triple digits. There's a badge of honor that comes with it.
I'm gonna show you like a Phoenix kid. Like this is a Phoenix kid's experience. We even brought Perk along. I didn't agree to that, but like, I'm glad you're here now, Perk.
This is where Richard Jefferson began.
Yeah, this is the 115 degree experience. Come on.
What is this?
This is my gym. This is where legends were made.
First place we went was my junior high. We didn't have a lot growing up, and so we wasn't allowed to play in a ton of organized sports. It wasn't Pop Warner, it wasn't Little League, but basketball was always free. My junior high is really the place where I started to figure out that this is what I want to do. I just want to play basketball.
The journey for guys like us starts in places like this. And what I am so proud to show, 7th grade, 93, won the championship, 94, won the championship.
Little seventh grade Richard Jefferson,
yes.
That same year that Charles Barkley was battling it out with Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
You were on this very gym.
Yeah. To have the Phoenix Suns be in the NBA Finals, and I'm here, and I played in the NBA because of that 93 group, Charles Barkley, all of those guys. Legends. They're still legends in this town.
Every kid had a basketball hoop. Every kid was outside playing. Every kid wanted a Charles Barkley or a Kevin Johnson or a Dan Majerle jersey. It was just a great time to be playing basketball as a kid in Arizona.
In my mind, I visualize you growing up with a white picket fence, not growing up really like getting it in a dungeon. Texas, we call this type of gym a dungeon.
Forward Richard Jefferson, who will play at Arizona.
I was only the third McDonald's All-American to ever come from this state. I actually used to ask the Suns announcer whenever they announced me to not say from the University of Arizona, but to say from Moon Valley High School.
The Moon Valley Rockets.
This high school haven't changed, huh?
No, it ain't changed.
See,
nothing.
This is culture.
This school has one state championship.
Is that Richard Jefferson's jersey?
Yeah, it's Richard Jefferson, man. My jersey's retired here. At my high school, my jersey will not be worn. And at my college, my jersey will not be worn again.
Hey, RJ, do you regret, like, not being able to play for the Suns? I mean, like, because maybe we could hook it up when you get, like,
a little 10-day.
Go hoop and get you a jersey, you know?
Honestly, that was the part that made me hate Channing Frye probably the most, is that Channing Frye got to play for the Suns. Hey, coach! What's up?
We had an opportunity to meet my high school coach, and he was the first person to give me actual direction.
We brought the big trophy out.
Oh, we brought the big trophy out?
He drove me to Utah to the Rick Majerus basketball camp. We drove to Salt Lake City in his Isuzu, like, Amigo.
Look at this.
Player of the year.
Thanks, coach.
Appreciate you.
We got to go to Cave Creek now, Rose Mofford, where I would just spend my entire time playing.
It will be cool and wonderful, I'm sure.
When we won the championship, I wanted to take the trophy every place that was special to me. Where I truly learned how to play basketball was at Rose Mofford. And so I pull up and they were like, oh, hey, you're Jefferson, right? I heard you used to play here. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, hey, what's going on with the courts? They're like, oh yeah, they're redoing them. And I was just like, whoo.
See? What time is this? It is 5:30. So it just opened an hour and a half ago because it's too hot before then. 4 p.m., the real OGs show up. Look at this. Look at all the kids. Yeah. Come on, Perk. Look at this. What's up? What's all? Oh, look at you guys. This is awesome.
It meant a lot, man, seeing that trophy now and just knowing what the Phoenix Suns are fighting for.
Ooh, you can see yourself.
I don't think there's a greater joy than to inspire people that went to the same schools, that live in the same area. I think that is really the highest form of inspiration.
All right, who's our favorite player?
Booker.
To have the Phoenix Suns back at the mountaintop, that's something that means a lot to this community.
One, two, three, shine!
So there's like six things in there that got me emotional.
I'm embarrassed to say.
Yeah. But the idea that 5 years ago you won a title, they let you have the trophy and bring it around, you get to the court.
That hurt a little bit.
And you couldn't do it. And then 5 years later, you get to actually have that moment is awesome.
And hopefully the Phoenix Suns are able to win a championship because, again, every community it means a lot to. But just growing up here, all my friends growing up, Charles Barkley, their kick game was fire. Mm-hmm. Kevin Johnson. So, Perk, and I actually appreciate you actually added something to it.
No, you know what? That was actually the one moment that I actually enjoy being around you.
Let's not do that again.
Seriously, yeah.
Let's not.
I was going to say, do you feel like you have to be nice to him for the rest of the show now?
Yeah, I do. Not that long.
Not for the whole rest of the show.
That's a disaster.
There we go. Everyone should stick around for the rest of the show, though, to see the two of them. And also, we're going to run through Game 5 prop bets, people.
Ooh.
Time for some Jump Ball Game 5 edition, all prop bet lines courtesy of Caesars William Hill. Let's start, guys, with Giannis. Perk, over under 46.5 total points and rebounds.
I'm going with the under. Here's why. I think the Phoenix Suns are going to stay with their same thing that they did in Game 4, and that's double Giannis on the low block, get the ball out of his hands, and they're going to wall up on him in transition.
I'm going to go with the under again because I think the Phoenix Suns are going to win this game. And so I'm going to go with under and just say that he's going to be great, but it won't be 46. He's not going to have 30 and 16.
Well, they didn't mention the assists in that prop bet.
It says points rebounds. It's
points
an assist.
That's what I'm saying. No. I'm safe. That's my point. Yeah. They don't mention assists, and that's the number that I expect to actually be a little higher.
Does that count?
It does not count.
I'm making the point.
How are you confused when it's right in front of you?
Kendrick, how much do we have to teach Richard about gambling?
I don't gamble.
Chris Paul, over under 2.5 turnovers, Richard.
I'm going to say over. I still think he's going to play. He's not going to have the same type of game that he had before. But I'm going to say it's going to go over 2.5.
I'm going with the under. Look, one thing we know about Chris Paul is that he's a magician when it comes to handling the rock and making passes. Some of these turnovers was not Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. He's going to adjust. He's not going to have 3 turnovers in this game.
You're
going
to go. Wait.
I'm going with the under.
Okay.
In order
for it to go over. 3 straight games of the over winning. Yeah, but I certainly agree with Perk.
No, it's 2.5. So in order
you can't have 2.5 turnovers.
That's the point, Richard. Drew Holiday, Perk, I'm just going to stick with you because clearly over under 18.5 points for Drew.
I'm going with the under. You know why? Because I feel like Drew Holiday has embraced his role of just guarding CP3. And I feel like the Bucks could win long as Chris Middleton and Giannis do their thing. Drew Holiday don't have to score over 18 points in order for the Bucks to get a win.
And I'm going to go with the under again. The ones that I'm calling under is based off of who I think is going to win the game.
Right.
And I think if Drew Holiday goes for over 18.5, then I think that the Bucks have a very good chance of winning this game, but I don't think tonight's their night.
Going to be interesting. So let's move over to Devin Booker then, if that's how you feel. Over or under 28.5 points, Richard?
I'm going with the over. Devin Booker is going to keep doing what he does, and that is just bucketing people to death. Man didn't even have a three-pointer, and his dude went 17 for 28. That's just two point. That's just bucketing people to death.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the most prolific scorers in the game. And although they have P.J. Tucker on him, P.J. Tucker struggled with guys that move without the basketball coming off of pin downs and things to that nature, especially that small. I'm going with the over.
I didn't even know that was a thing, death by bucket.
Yeah, death by bucket.
Not what you think just hearing that phrase.
No, it's not. It's
take a bucket out. Yeah. Finally, Perk, who you have to win game 5? Suns are favored by 4 at home. Mm-hmm. So since you're an extra level, elite level better, I'm going to ask you, taking the points into account, if that was the bet, what would you kick?
I'm going with the Phoenix Suns in a good fashion.
To win by more than 4, then.
They're going to win by more than 4 points. They might win by 10 for the simple fact they have home court advantage. And not only do the role players, these young guys thrive from the energy of the fan base, but CP3 and Jay Crowder, they also perform well in this arena. They have established a culture here, and it's hard to get a win here. They won both of their games, game 1 and game 2, by a large margin. I'm taking the Suns minus 4.
Okay. So do you think the Suns will win by more than 4 points? That is the question in front of you. I'm going to translate for you.
Yes.
Okay.
I think this is yes. I was trying to decipher.
I don't think you can walk up to a betting window and just say, yes.
I think you can.
They'll take your money regardless. It's totally fine.
Yeah, I didn't know what Perk was saying, but I was trying to decipher. That's not a knock on you. I didn't understand the numbers and stuff.
We'll be back on Monday. Enjoy the game tomorrow night. I know it's been a carnival for us here with these two.